6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves.
And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white.
Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus,
"Lord, it is good for us to be here.
If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," talking with him.
While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said,
"This is my son, my beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him."
When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying,
And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them,
"Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead."
This is the gospel of grace.
Be to God.
We celebrate these young people up front today. And we give thanks also for their teachers and their leaders who have helped them help us worship this morning. You've all done a great job, and I want you to know that we love each and every one of you and are so proud of you. You are our beloved sons, daughters, and children. And we rejoice in you. Not long from now, you fifth and sixth graders will begin reading and studying some of the great literary works that have come down to us over the centuries. One thing you'll learn about is something called the hero's journey, which is the journey of the protagonist on some adventure, whether physical or emotional or spiritual. And on that journey, the hero of the adventure crosses something called a threshold, which means they take a fateful step beyond the known realm into the unknown realm, beyond the place of safety and towards the place of destiny. This is when Frodo and Sam cross the Shire in Lord of the Rings. It's when Luke leaves Tatooine in Star Wars. And it's when a couple is to be wed and they literally cross the threshold together, coming and standing with one another at the altar of their marriage. Though, of course, for fifth and sixth graders, the idea of marrying anyone ever is still kind of gross. And the threshold is also Jesus standing on the mountain of transfiguration. With the early days of his ministry in known Galilee past and the destiny of the unknown road to Jerusalem in the future, the world behind him, the cross before him, Jesus stands at the threshold, the place of clarity. If you go home and read the Gospel of Matthew, you will find that up until now, Jesus' ministry has been full of success and miracles. But then just before this scene, Jesus begins to speak of suffering and cross. His disciple, Peter, doesn't understand what Jesus is talking about. In fact, he takes Jesus aside to rebuke him. But Jesus, in turn, then rebukes Peter. Then the scripture starts right then where the kids picked it up a moment ago. 6 days later, it says, which is a kind of clue telling us to read what's next in light of what's been before. Listen to what is said next with the mind of what you have heard prior. So then, Jesus there is transfigured on the mountain. His clothes become dazzling white with Moses and Elijah standing next to him. I've always wondered how they knew it was Moses and Elijah. Peter in the story wants to build 3 tabernacles. He wants to stay right there on the mountain to have Moses, Elijah, and Jesus worship and rule from the mountaintop. But then suddenly, out of nowhere, there's a cloud that enshrouds them all, and a voice heard from the heavens, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Jesus had come to a place of deep clarity about his life. He had become crystal clear about the destiny of his life. In fact, that is, I think, the symbolic meaning of his transfigured clothes. He knew which direction he had to go with great clarity and vision. He knew where the road was heading, and there would be no talking him out of it. Jesus was standing at the threshold, and he was crossing over. And Peter and the other disciples were to listen to Jesus, because he was telling them the way that the hero by destiny had to go. This being Black History Month, I want to give you a little important Black history and some family history as well. This very week, 67 years ago, Dr. King was indicted on a conspiracy charge for his role in the black bus boycott that was bankrupting the bus company in Montgomery, Alabama. King learned about the grand jury indictment while he was on a speaking trip in Nashville, Tennessee. And on his way back to Alabama, he stopped in his hometown, Atlanta, where his father gathered some of the most influential black leaders in the city, including the president of Morehouse College, Benjamin Elijah Mays, and my wife, Irie's great uncle, C.A. Scott, who was owner and editor of the black newspaper, the Atlanta Daily World, and a deacon in Dr. King's family church. Daddy King wanted these elders to help him convince his son not to return to Alabama. But Dr. King, in his very young wisdom, had come to a place of deep, deep clarity about his life. He had crossed a threshold from which there was no turning back, and he spoke firmly and convincingly to the elders gathered there in the living room. And he told his father, "I would rather be in jail 10 years than desert my people now. I have begun the struggle, and I can't turn back." So Dr. King then drove back to Alabama. And on February 23rd, 1956, he voluntarily reported to the courthouse in Montgomery, surrendering his body to the authorities and his destiny to God. And we can ask ourselves this morning, where would America be had Dr. King decided otherwise? And we can, as Christians this morning, ask ourselves, where would this world be had Jesus summoned there to be with the elders, had also not himself come to a deep, deep place of clarity and conviction about his destiny? And God said there on the top of the mountain, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to what he is saying." And Jesus said to his disciples on the road down the mountain, "Be not afraid." Today with us in worship, we have the Reverend Brian Henderson, who is the executive director of the Association of Welcoming and Affirming Baptists, and whom we will hear from briefly later at the end of the service. AWAB is the national voice for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer Baptists. And I think to myself, how about that gospel? That there happen to be lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer people who still dare to call themselves Baptists. And not just a few in here. And I think to myself, what courage it takes for someone who is trans to be transfigured. And how powerful it is for a gay or lesbian or queer person to have those same words spoken over them that were spoken over Jesus on the top of that mountain so long ago. "This is my beloved child. Listen to what they are saying and be not afraid." We all have our places of clarity. The moments in our lives when we have to decide who it is that we are, what we are all about, and which way it is that we are going. When we have to decide that we have come too far to turn back from the struggle, so we have to then take the next step across the threshold. That is what we have done, I believe, in joining AWAB this past year. We crossed the threshold And I do believe in my heart of hearts that God is pleased. We cross the threshold, and as the beloved children of God, we've seen the vision. And like Moses and Dr. King, we too have stood upon the mountain and seen the promised land, and we've heard the voice of the Lord, and we've listened, and we've gotten a glimpse of where it is that we're going, what that promised land looks like, which is the hope of all people. All people living together in the beloved community of God in Christ in us. That is our destiny. And we've begun the struggle, and we can't turn back. So we walk back down the mountain. We continue to walk the road. We follow Jesus together. And as the old spiritual says, the one that they sung in Montgomery all those many years ago, we walk together, children. And don't you get weary. So may it be as we go back down this mountain this morning. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together then all of God's people do say, amen and amen.